How did you spend your time then after you retired?
Well, as I said, I started dancing, and I got in a few clubs, and just went here and there with my friends. Well, after I retired, I took a couple trips. I went to Utah to see friends of mine, and I was going to just stay a week. A lady and a friend and her husband, and they used to live across the street from me. Well, anyway, they moved to Utah, and so I was going to stay a week, you know. Well, this woman's husband says, "You're not going to just stay a week. You're going to stay 2 weeks, and because we're not going to take you to the bus." And I stayed 2 weeks, and it was nice. I went fishing with them, and I caught bigger fish than he did. We went to a trout lake in Utah, and then one was catfish. And it was funny. I went with this man. She didn't feel too good, so I went with this man and two other men, you see. And so we were catching catfish, and I couldn't throw out a line. We always had a fish pole. We put it over, you know, but I couldn't throw a reel, you know. I was afraid I'd catch somebody in that, you know. Well, anyway, I just leaned over, had a hang in those rocks along the shore there. So I let it hang there and everything, and I had two hooks there, and I'd pull that up in a few minutes, and I have two catfish on it. And I did real good. Well, I decided to quit at noon. She said not to bring too much fish home. So anyway, I decided to quit. I went and sat in the car, and they kept on fishing. Well, I got a kick out of those. One of those men, he says, "I don't know about you, but it looks like she's catching more than you are just off the rocks." And so it was late when we got home. So they put ice on the fish. And so I get up the next morning, and he was trying to prepare those fish, dress them and everything, you know. And you have to skin them there. That's the way they did it anyway. So I said, "Show me how to do that." Because he was just shaking. And so I cleaned all, dressed all those fish. And they were the nicest fish I've ever eaten, yet the catfish. They just have the backbone, and it was wonderful. And then we had this trout, and of course, the trout are nice, but I really like the catfish better. But I went fishing twice, and I guess they both passed away by this time, but I liked it there. Utah has got so many lakes, and it's pretty country. But that's all we did. We just sit around the house, maybe play cards a little bit. She wasn't too well. And he was well enough at the time, but then he was shaking, nervous, you know, whatever. But I had a good time while I was there those 2 weeks. But before I went to Utah, my oldest sister lives in Kansas City, Missouri, and I thought I'd go and see her. Well, I went to see her for 2 weeks. And well, we didn't do anything. She wasn't too well. All I did there was do her yard work and her housework, and I didn't go any place hardly. But being with her was nice. And she's still living.
Do you belong to any senior citizens groups?
Well, I belong to the Midway Women's City Club here in Garden Grove. And then I belong to a bingo club. We play Saturday a month, and it's a nice group, nice people. And within the church, they second half, and then they have the another group that they go out and they do this, and they're just little trips, you know what I mean, for senior citizens, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And I joined the Methodist Church here in Garden Grove. My daughter, that was my daughter's church, so I wasn't too active in the Catholic Church. And so I joined the church because actually the Methodist Church is the people from the Catholic Church, dropouts, you know what I mean? And so I joined it, and it's a nice little church.
When did you decide to move to Garden Grove?
Well, I had sold my home, and I lived in this apartment on the west side of Long Beach, which is a nice area, Los Altos. Well, anyway, I lived there for 4 or 5 years, and it was nice because a shopping center there and everything, and you could get a bus. Of course, I had a car part of the time. But anyway, I liked it there, but my daughter and her husband had been trying to get me out here. And as a matter of fact, when I sold my home and moved to this apartment, my son-in-law said that I should move out to Garden Grove then. But I had already rented an apartment, and I didn't plan on it then yet. But anyway, so my daughter, they were thinking about getting me out here. And, of course, they had it all arranged between the two of them. And, of course, they broke the news to me and everything, you know, about this house and everything. And I told my daughter it was nice and all of that. But I didn't think at the time that I'd be moving in it. But I had an equilibrium problem. And it was about 2 or 3 years ago, right before Christmas. And it was something new. I've talked to a lot of people, and a lot of them have it. And it was all new to me. But you feel dizzy, you know. And, of course, it kind of scared me. I was kind of sick along with it. So my daughter had to come from Garden Grove to Long Beach to take care of me. And I kind of hated to have her do it. But so when this place came up and for sale and right in her neighborhood, well, they wanted to buy it. And of course, my son-in-law likes property, you know. And it's a good investment, really. So anyway, they and I bought it. And I moved here. They moved me here, my son-in-law and his boys moved me here. And at first, I couldn't hardly get away from Long Beach. I'd think about it. I'd think about moving back. It was a long time. When you live in a place 50 years like I did, and all my friends were there. And, you know, when you get my age, you don't make the friends you do when you're young. So, and of course, I didn't dance while I was here. And so, anyway, I moved. And I had to talk to myself plenty to reconcile myself to this is the best thing for me, which I know it was.
How do you feel about it now?
Well, I like it more all the time. And, of course, I'm getting more. You see, Garden Grove is spread out, and it's hard for me to, I can take buses and everything, but my daughter is awfully good about taking me here and there, and I never go to the grocery store unless she goes, because I don't want them to make special trips with the gas situation and everything like it is. And I buy enough. I know how to manage. I always know how to do that. So I buy enough, and I don't have to go to the store so often. But my daughter goes often enough. And I never asked them to take me anyplace, other than if I had to go to the doctor. Then she would take me to the doctor. But that isn't too often, because I just don't need it. I have a nice doctor here. The way she told me, Beverly told me that, well, she'd take me to my doctor in Long Beach. Well, that was too unhandy. I made up my mind, I just have to get one out here, which I did, and I have a nice doctor.
Have you met people around here now?
Well, I know some of the neighbors, but the people on one side of me, they're young, you know, and I don't. As I say, I'm satisfied. I'm with my daughter enough, and I have. They come over here, and so I'm content to stay home by myself a certain amount of time. And as time goes on, I'll be more content. I'm not a dissatisfied person anyway. I can live with a lot.
How has your health been?
Well, my health, like my daughter tells me, she says, Mother, your health is good. And it is good because of my age and everything. I had my problems when I was younger, but I'm just getting along fine, really. I take trips with the church and then with, these other clubs. And short trips, not too much. And my sister in Kansas City probably would like to have me go live with her there. But, you don't feel too good in a strange place. You have to wait for them to take you and everything, so I've gone to see her twice since I retired in Kansas City.
What do you think about when you think about the future?
Well, it doesn't really do any good to worry about it. But I'm not too happy about the way the future looks, really. I'm concerned about unemployment and robbery. And, of course, I came from Los Angeles County. And there's plenty of stuff about Los Angeles County. And I never did go out at night much on a bus when I lived in Long Beach towards my later years because, just going out at night wasn't safe. And here, I don't have an occasion to go out at night because everything is daytime.
What do you think about the women's movement today?
Well, what little I know about it or believe, I think it's good. I mean, women work. I'm more conscientious than men. I've worked with a lot of women. And myself, I'm conscientious. I don't believe in doing anything halfway just to get by. I don't believe in that. And that's the way I was with my work at Douglas. And my everyday life is that way. I mean, I tackle a lot of things that I really shouldn't do because I don't have the strength I used to have. And I used to come in after I had retired and spend a day with my daughter, go over her whole house, and clean it up because she had arthritis problem and she had her problems and she had her family. So as long as I had all that time, I thought I'd come in and give her 8 hours of it. And I really enjoyed that. I had an awful good feeling of going home, but her house was nice and clean. I don't help her now. She won't let me because, she is better, but she'll always have her problems with arthritis. And I have it myself, arthritis of the spine. But I don't know it. The doctor told me that. It doesn't bother me, see.
Women are growing up very differently now. Women's roles are very different
mm-hmm.
than when you were
young. Well, women, they actually, they just go to work. I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them. They ordinarily wouldn't be working, like myself when I was young. I wasn't any working woman. We lived on what my husband's salary was. And I didn't think nothing of it. I just managed on that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to understand when you think now of not working, as I didn't do then. And but you always have something to do.
If you were raising a daughter now, would you do things differently than you did with your daughter?
Well, no, I don't think I would because, her stepfather. See, I married him when she was 6 years old. Well, he worried more about her than I did. And, but he used to tell me, and I used to think, too, that if she was my life, when she was born. And if anything happened to her, I wouldn't want to think about it, see. So I worried an awful lot. I had to know where she was as a child playing with other children. I knew where she was at all times. And I always gave her a time to come home. And after she mailed me. And that's what it was. I just managed that way.
How do you feel about the equal rights
movement? Well, I think it's okay. You know, Douglas, they always paid you man's wages. I mean, I got man's wages, but I did a man's job. If he was on my job to help me, was my drilling out frames was my job, and I worked alone, but on the production got so much, I had to have help. My sub foreman said to me, Margaret, it's not that you're not doing enough. He says, but you can't possibly put out enough, and he was very nice. And so they gave me, he said, who do you want to work with you? And I say, well, I'll take Betty. Miss Betty, she was a worker. And boy, we put out the frames. And to this day, she's young enough to be my daughter. But to this day, we call each other and send cards and things because she liked me. And of course, because of me, she was a bee assembler. Because of working with me, she made her A with more money and everything. And it was really nice. She worked hard like I did. I mean, we put out frames. The rest of them had trouble keeping up with us. She had a love affair, and she went back to Pennsylvania. But she came back. Well, she got a divorce. Got married and got a divorce. But anyway, she's back here in Torrance, back working at Douglas. And I'm glad they took her back, because she's deserving. She's living, her mother, her old mother, a sick mother, is living with her. And I admire her for taking care of her mother and everything. But she's quite a person.
Do you get to see her?
Hmm?
Do you get to see her?
Well, I haven't seen her lately. Because, you see, I don't drive. And she's working. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to call her up. And I'll send her a Christmas card. And she came over here this spring. And brought her mother. Of course, now my mother was sickly and everything. Maybe her mother isn't with her anymore. I don't know. But I'm going to call her up and talk to her.
What was the most fulfilling, or what has been the most fulfilling time in your life?
I knew you were going to say
you
that.
Did?
Well, I think when I started working at Douglas, I had to work. And I worked all that time, and was able to save enough money to take care of me now. And that's fulfilling enough. Because it's hard to believe that at that time, I don't know whether you can do it now or not, but you could get your vacation pay and sick leave and keep right on working. Well, that's what I did. I put that in the bank, plus what I could put otherwise. So I was able to accumulate money that maybe... And you know, if you travel, that costs money. So I made myself better off by doing what I did. And it didn't bother me any. I'm not much to travel anyway. And I didn't have to take a vacation. So I kept on working. But that was really fulfilling. And I can look back at it now and make myself feel good, really. Because my daughter was telling me the other day, she says, Mother, you don't have to go live just any place if I have to go into a retirement place, which I don't think I'll ever do. Because I'm here, she's just only 5-6 houses away, and she gets my groceries and checks on me every day. And so I don't worry about it. Because in those retirement places, you have to be able to get out and go and everything, and you're not bedridden, you know. So I wouldn't be any different there than I am here. And, of course, if I had to go to the hospital, that's something else. But I'm not planning on it.
I didn't ask you what menopause was like for you.
I didn't have any. When I was, well, my early 30s or something like that, I had to have a hysterectomy. And it was partial. It wasn't complete. And I never had hot flashes. They talk about hot flashes, and I guess they are miserable. I never had them. And they said, well, because you had a hysterectomy, you wouldn't have them. But then I've heard, too, it's not. That's not so. It make a bit of difference. So I don't know, but I know I just didn't have any. And I was glad of it because it's miserable if you're out with friends and you kind of feel ashamed, but you can't have it. You can't help it. That's life.
What led up to you needing a hysterectomy?
Well, I don't know. I had pain in my side and everything. I had a appendectomy when I was 21. And, of course, they say surgery, it causes adhesions. But you can get adhesions without surgery. So I couldn't say that, but it just my female organs just had trouble with them, and I had to have part of them out. And so I kept on going from there.
If you could sum up what your experience at working at Douglas during the war meant to you, what would you say?
Well, it was a nice experience because I went to work and I was really ignorant of all of that work. I knew what a hammer was, but I didn't know what a rivet gun was. No, I didn't know what those motors were like. And I didn't, like, put things in the vise and work on that way. And it was quite an experience because there's no end to the learning. They have the different tools to work with. And you don't have those kind of tools around the house. And, of course, I didn't do much riveting. I did do some. But my job was drilling, loading jigs and drilling holes. They'd click them together, and then the others out there would, it would take two people to on every one of those frames, you know. And as I say, it was interesting, and you go by a book. You have a book there of the different customers that Douglas had, different countries, and they wanted them the built certain ways. And you just had to go by that book. And it was the only way to do because, well, that's the way you build them, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have known people that made a mistake and put the wrong fitting on something. Well, then that was a problem, see. Maybe they could use it. Maybe they'd have to just junk that frame. Never had to junk anything I made. I seem to that. I fixed up a lot of the junk, so.
Do you think that it affected your life later, the direction of your life at all?
Well, it made me feel secure the way I did it. That's the most important thing, secure. And then I could keep on going. I didn't have to worry about my rent or my utility bills or anything like that because while I don't have maybe as much as a lot of people, but I'm satisfied with what I have because that's what I'm supposed to have. I worked for it, and we are, Douglas is good about the pensions. A lot of places you can work and you'll never get a pension. But Douglas, the union did that. And retirement is good because they give you these Wednesdays, so to speak, once a month. And I think Douglas is a wonderful place to work for because I never could have done another place like that. Of course, there are other aircraft places, but Douglas was the closest for me, and at the time I wasn't driving, so I didn't have I had to figure out a lot of things. Keep getting a ride, you know, and but I've seen a lot of them get fired, and I've seen a lot of them retire or quit. It wasn't retiring, that was quitting. And sorry that they did. No, I never would say anything but good for Douglas. I still